I want to share something the Lord said. Then we're going to go to Romans chapter 6. But in this verse, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that hath sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come to condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Now, have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have everlasting life? You do. If you're saved, then you know it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. It is wonderful to know that I'm saved, and it's really wonderful to know that I can't lose it. You cannot lose your salvation. Now, if you're not a Baptist, you may be chafing already. You Baptists believe in once saved, always saved. We believe it because of what the Bible says. It's what Jesus says right here. He that believeth on him that sent me hath, doesn't say shall have, does it? He's not talking future tense. If you trust in Jesus Christ now, right now, you have everlasting life. Now here's my question. If you have everlasting life, how can you lose that? How can you lose something that's everlasting? If you can lose it, it's not everlasting. Amen. I mean, that's just simple grammar. That's what Jesus says. So, this is something that we can rejoice in. We have a salvation. I'm not keeping myself saved. I'm letting the Lord Jesus Christ do that. I am saved by grace and I am kept by grace. I'm not trying to keep myself saved. But many are. There's a lot of people that do not believe what the Bible says here. They believe you can lose your salvation. I mean, you can mess up and go off into sin and God takes your salvation away. You can repent and get it back and you can lose it and get it back and lose it. I'd hate to live that way. Not ever knowing from one day to the next if I'm really saved. That's a miserable way to live. I'm so glad the Bible teaches security of the believer. Now, here's the thing I want to share with you tonight. The message is things a Christian can lose. That's the message. Things a Christian can lose. Just because you cannot lose your salvation does not mean that there are some things that you cannot lose by going into sin and living a life of disobedience. Now we're going to go to Romans chapter 6. And beginning with verse number 11, let's read. "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves service to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, ye become the servants of righteousness." Now here's a passage here warning us not to go back into sin, not to yield ourselves as instruments to unrighteousness. Now you say, "Well, preacher, if I can't lose my salvation, then I'm not going to worry about it. I mean, if I've got a home in heaven, no matter what I do." And some people may think that way. But I want to share some things tonight with you. There are some things that you can lose by living a life out of the will of God and disobedient to the Word of God. Don't let sin control your life. Paul says the believer is considering himself dead unto sin. Consider yourself dead unto sin. Don't let sin control your life. If you had a dog that died in the backyard, would you continue to go out and try to feed that dog every day? That'd be silly, wouldn't it? He's dead. Well, you're dead unto sin. So quit trying to feed the lust and the flesh, the things of this world. You're dead to that. Reminds me of a little boy that had a goldfish for a pet, and it died. And he was heartbroken. And he went to his father holding it in his hand, and he says, "Daddy, Flipper died." And Daddy could see how upset the little fellow was. And he says, "Well, listen, son, don't be upset. I'll tell you what we'll do. We will have a big funeral for Flipper. We'll have all your friends come over. We'll have cake and ice cream. We'll put him in a little matchbox, and we'll have a ceremony and bury him in the backyard. And we'll bring in a clown and just have games." And about that time, Flipper started flipping again. Little boy looked at the Flipper, and he looked at his dad, and he said, "Daddy, let's kill it." Anyway, that has nothing to do with this. I just wanted to say that. What can you lose? You might want to jot these down. Remember these. The first thing you can lose, although you cannot lose your salvation, you know what the Bible says? You can lose the joy of your salvation. Who said that? King David said that. And he ought to know, because he lost the joy of his salvation. After he committed the sin of adultery with Bathsheba and had her husband put to death and tried to cover that up for a year before Nathan came and exposed it, he wrote the 51st Psalm after that. And in there he confessed his sin. And there in chapter 51 or Psalm 51 verse 12, that's where he says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." He didn't lose his salvation. He lost the joy of his salvation. Now don't tell David there's nothing to lose because of sin. You stand with him as he looks down at the dead baby that Bathsheba had. Or when his daughter was raped by one of her own brothers. Or when one son killed another. And when that son rebelled against David and tried to take his throne, there were consequences for what David did. You remember Nathan came and gave him the parable about the poor man with the lamb? Remember that? How upset and mad David got over that? And he said, "The man that had done this thing, the rich man that took this poor man's lamb, he shall die." Nathan said, "You're the man. David, I'm talking about you. You didn't take somebody's lamb, you took somebody's wife, and then you took his life." See, David passed sentence on himself. But because he repented, God did not put him to death, but he paid the fourfold. Four of his children suffered because of what Daddy did. Amen. And he lost the joy of his salvation. One of his sons, Solomon, later wrote in Proverbs 13:15, he talked about the way of transgressors is hard. That's a hard path, folks. It's a hard way to go. Maybe some of you are right here. Because of a backslidden condition, because of something that you're allowing in your life, maybe you've lost the joy of your salvation. You don't enjoy it like you once did. You might think back and remember how excited you were when you first got saved and how joyful you felt about that relationship with Jesus Christ. But that's missing now, isn't it? Something happened. There are many that have lost the joy of their salvation. I talked other night about my preacher friend who, when his daughter got saved, he started shouting. I understand Baptists used to shout. We lost our shout, haven't we? I think we need to get it back. Amen. Well, don't quench the Holy Spirit. I think we do that, don't you? We're afraid to express ourselves. We're afraid of what people might say. A fooey. Who cares what people say? Amen. We need to please the Lord and not quench the Spirit. So you can lose the joy of your salvation. Number two, you can lose your testimony. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, the Lord Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under foot of men." You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world as disciples of Christ. You have a powerful testimony to share with this world. But when you get backslid, when you get away from God, you lose that testimony. We've talked about Lot this week, and Lot is such a great example of a lot of things. The carnal believer, remember, he was the nephew of Abraham, and he separated from his godly uncle, ended up in sinful Sodom. He took his children there. He should have protected them from such a place as that, but he takes them there. He's more concerned with raising cattle than he is in raising his children. There's a lot of people just like him today. I mean, I talked to him and they said, "Well, preacher, we think it's good for our children to experience the ways of the world. We don't want them to live a sheltered life." Well, why not? I think that's part of the parents' responsibility, is to shelter your children and protect them. But a lot of them don't today. That's the philosophy of Lot that they're going by. I tell you what, folks, you don't even have to get out of your home anymore to have Sodom come in. Sodom comes in through the television. You know that? Sodom comes right into your living room. And your children are damaged beyond measure in what they hear and see on TV and on the internet. I want you to think about something. What would you think if a total stranger walked into your house, sat down in your living room with your family present, and he begins to use foul language, tells filthy jokes, he's swigging from a bottle of booze, he's taking God's name in vain, he ridicules your Christian faith, he's doing all of this in your home in front of your family? What would you do? Say, "Preacher, I'd tell him to get out. I'd say, 'There's the door, mister, you get out of here.'" But you know what happens? Through the television, that's exactly what happens. These people come into your living room through the television and they tell their filthy jokes and they take God's name in vain and they ridicule your faith. And many so-called Christians sit there and laugh at it. They laugh at it as somebody ridicules what you believe. Isn't it that crazy? And yet we do it night after night after night. Hey, if your children get bored, sometimes I say, "Look, why don't you go to the neighbors and peek in their bedroom window and see what you can see them do?" It's all preacher. But it comes into your living room through the television. All the sex scenes. Just about every bedroom scene on television is between non-married people. Your children said they might as well go to the neighbor and look through their bedroom window. What's the difference? Come on. Amen. That's where we've gotten to. Folks, my grandparents would be shocked at what's on television today. The F word. Streaming through just about every city. They've got these children uttering filthy language. There ought to be a law against that. There ought to be a law against that. That's abuse. That's child abuse. These children actors using filthy language. There's going to be a payday. You mark it down. The Lord sees this and it grieves Him. And our kids are watching. Our neighbors are watching. What kind of a testimony do we have in front of them? I'll tell you something. I tell my people this all the time. They get sick of hearing it. It's the truth. The most precious thing you have is your testimony. Seriously. Your testimony of faith in Jesus Christ is precious. You ought to guard it with everything you've got. There are people that you know that someday may need to come to you for godly counsel. And you could help them. But if you've got the wrong testimony, they won't come to you. They'll go to someone else. Lot led his family. Lot led his city go to hell because of his testimony. Don't you try to tell Lot there's nothing to lose by moving to Sodom. He lost a lot, didn't he? He lost his married daughters and their husbands. They perished in the judgment. He lost his wife, who turned around and I think was ready to go back and turned into a pillar of salt. Lot lost a lot. You reap what you sow. Number three, not only can you lose the joy of your salvation and your testimony, you can lose your fellowship with Christ. Go to 1 John chapter 1 with me. 1 John chapter 1 and look at verses 6 and 7. John says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. Don't you wish John would just quit beating around the bush and just say what he thinks? If we say that we have fellowship with the Lord and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now think about this. There's a lot of people today who do not enjoy a close fellowship with the Lord because they're walking in darkness. I'm talking about professed believers. They get off into a life of sin and backsliding, and it gets them out of church. I've seen this happen so many times that here's a church member that is allowing himself to get off into things he shouldn't be doing, going places he shouldn't be going, and he comes to church and he gets convicted. The preaching convicts him. He's got to make a choice. He's got to make a decision. He's either got to quit that sin or quit going to church. And a lot of them quit church. Instead of giving up the sin, they want to hold on to that, but they can't bear coming to church and being convicted all the time, so they quit coming to church. You know anybody like that? Think about it, you probably do. You may have been there yourself at one time. They're doing things they shouldn't be doing. They're going to places they shouldn't be going. They're acting in ways that bring reproach upon Christ and His church. I've been sleeping outside the casino. Brother Isaac put me in the shadow of the casino. I think he's testing me. But I understand that we've got some problems with church members wanting to go to casino. Now, Isaac has not said anything to me about this, so don't feel like He's talking about you. If you go to the casinos, just buckle up for a second. Because you have no business going there. Amen. I've had some people at our church, one fellow in particular, he got addicted to that casino. He would get his paycheck on Friday, go to the casino and lose every bit of it. Then have to go home and tell his wife what he had done. And he would do that week after week after week. And he'd have to borrow money and pawn things to try to get by. But he was addicted to that. He was more faithful to the casino than he was to the church. He definitely gave more money to the casino than he did to the church. Wasn't his intention, but he did. I told him, I said, you know, I think I'll put one of those one-armed bandits in the lobby so you can just come and put your money in it. That'll be one way we can get it. We got a lot of people getting involved in these things. A lot of churches don't even practice discipline anymore. Come on. That's a thing of the past. Very few churches practice discipline upon their members for living a sinful lifestyle and bringing reproach upon the church. But folks, the Bible says we ought to do it. God says, you judge those within, I'll take care of those without. God expects us to do it. God expects us to hold our members to accountability. Boy, you try to do it though, you get a bunch of people mad. They don't really get mad until you start messing with relatives. They're okay with it until you start messing with members of their family, and then all of a sudden, it's different. That's not even part of my sermon. That just came to me. That's free. Y'all have a church covenant? Is there one around here? You know what I'm talking about, right? We have a church covenant. What that means is when I joined that church, I entered into a covenant agreement. We all agreed to abide by the church covenant when we joined the church. And yet many couldn't care less what that says. And it's based on the Bible. Look at it and see. They couldn't care less about their fellowship with the Lord's church and His people. But I'm going to tell you something that's important. What I read here is, if I'm not in fellowship with my brother, I'm not in fellowship with the Lord. I can't say that I love the Lord and hate my brother. Now think about that. If you're not in fellowship with others, you're not in fellowship with God. That's important. See, can you be out of fellowship with God's people and be in fellowship with the Lord? 1 John 4:20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth or is indifferent toward his brother, he's a liar. John likes that word, doesn't he? For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Listen, if you love God, I think you will automatically love God's people. Amen. And you will enjoy the fellowship of God's people. Isn't it strange that there are some church members that actually feel more comfortable with the world than they do here? They're more comfortable at the casino than they are in the Lord's house. They're with their crowd. Come on. They're with their crowd. They're comfortable with that crowd. Say, preacher, how do you explain that? I think they just need a good dose of salvation is what I think. That's what I really think. I think we've got a lot of lost church members on the road. What about you? Do you prefer the company of the devil's goats over the Lord's flock. Here's the fourth thing. Let me tie myself. Another thing you can lose is eternal rewards. The Bible talks about laying up treasure in heaven. Jesus said in Revelation 22:12, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." The Lord's coming, and He's coming to reward those that have been faithful. Now listen, we don't work for salvation. Amen. Amen? But we work for rewards. Salvation's a gift. Rewards are not a gift. God's not going to give every believer rewards as a gift. It says you've got to earn rewards. Let me give you some verses that back that up. 2 John verse 8. "Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward." What does that say? That you can lose your reward. Does it? Am I misreading that? You can lose your reward. Can't lose your salvation, but you can go to heaven and find nothing there waiting for you. If you're not laying up treasure in heaven. How about 1 Corinthians 3:15? "If any man's work shall be burned at the judgment seat, he shall suffer loss." There it is again, loss. "But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." He will suffer loss. Loss of salvation? No. Loss of reward. I mean, you can actually go to heaven and stand before the Lord and have nothing to receive. Colossians 2:18, "Let no man beguile you of your reward." A lot of people seem to be very concerned about laying up treasure on earth, but not so much about laying up treasure in heaven. Say, "Preacher, how do we do that?" By serving the Lord. When you give your time and your talents and your treasure to the cause of Christ, you are laying up treasure in heaven. And you shall be rewarded when you stand before the Lord. I don't know about you, but I want to hear the Lord say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I like what David Ring said about that. He said, "If you don't like me, just wait. God's not through with me yet." He said, "I'm in His oven. And one day He's going to take me out and He's going to say, 'Well done.'" You like your meat well done? I mean, He's going to be well done. By the way, I shared this with my church, I think last Sunday. Some people have odd ideas about rewards. They think they're going to be rewarded for what they don't do. They say, "Well, preacher, I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't cheat on my spouse. I don't cuss much. Great is my reward." Now, are you rewarded for what you don't do? Apply that to your job. Let's say that on payday, your boss comes and says, "Now, how much work did you do this week?" And you say, "Well, boss, I didn't really do anything this week. I didn't do a thing. But boss, I didn't drink this week. I didn't smoke this week. I didn't cheat on my spouse this week. I didn't even cuss much this week." And of course, the boss is going to say, "Well, that is wonderful. Now let's see, $15 an hour for 40 hours of not drinking and not cussing and not, I owe you $600. Now you try that at work and see how that goes. You don't get paid for what you don't do. You get paid for what you do, right? You will be rewarded for what you do in the cause of Christ. Now, you shouldn't drink and smoke and cuss much. Those things are, those are good. That'll help your testimony. But if you want rewards, you better get busy serving the Lord. You heard about the guy who was on his deathbed and he told his wife to go get half the money out of the bank and put it in the attic. And his plan was, when I die and on my way to heaven, I'm going to grab that sack of money and take it with me. Well, she did as he said, and a few days later he died. She went up to the attic and that sack of money was still there. She said, I knew I should have put it in the basement. She figured he went the other way. Well, it doesn't matter what direction you go. You can't take that with you, but you can send it ahead. Amen. And one final thought. You can lose your physical life. You know, the Bible says in 1 John 5:16, there's a sin unto death. You say, well, what sin is that? Is that murder? Is that adultery? What sin is that? It's not talking about a particular sin. It's talking about continuing in sin until you cross the line. Moses committed a sin unto death, didn't he? He was to speak to the rock and he smote the rock, remember? And God said, because you have done this, you will not enter into the promised land. I'm going to take your life. Early. Moses committed the sin unto death. Did he go to hell? No, he's on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, wasn't he? Ananias and Sapphira committed the sin unto death when they lied to the Holy Spirit. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Here was a church where several members were taken early. They committed a sin unto death. It says in 1 Corinthians 11:28, talking about the Lord's Supper. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now look at this. For this cause, what cause? The way they were treating the Lord's Supper. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you in the church of Corinth. And many sleep. See, well, I know it's a Baptist church, they're sleeping. That sleep means death, doesn't it? Many died because of the way they were treating the Lord's Supper. They died of sin unto death. It's not a particular sin. It's just crossing that line with God. Parents, I'm glad you got, y'all have a lot of kids here. That blesses my heart. You know, we've got a lot of churches that have no children. You are so blessed to have about 20 kids up here a while ago. And that's wonderful. There's so many churches that don't have that. But we've got to be careful with these children. We've got to protect them and keep them safe and show them these things. Lest, well, the point I'm going to make about God taking children home early, you might think, well, that is horrible. Brother West, God kills people? Yes, He does. But here's the way to look at this. You parents that have the small ones, you ever take them to like a birthday party and they're misbehaving and they're acting up? They're getting into things they shouldn't, and you keep correcting them and correcting them, and finally you say, okay, that's it, we're going home. And you grab that youngin' and haul them out and take them home early. See, our Father sometimes looks down on us, and we keep misbehaving, and He keeps trying to correct us. Finally, He just says, all right, that's enough, I'm taking you home early. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? I think that's exactly what happens. You get to go to heaven early. That's not the way you want to go, is it? They all committed a sin unto death. My son had a friend named John. John committed a sin unto death by his own testimony. He's about 20 years old. And he couldn't get along with his parents. They kicked him out. He came and stayed with us a little while. We were trying to help out. I led him to the Lord, was trying to disciple him. And Mike Raines was preaching a revival meeting for us, and he preached on honor thy father and mother that night. And after church, we were all sitting around talking, and John said, you know, that sermon really convicted me tonight because I've not honored my parents. I've actually beat my father. I took my fist and beat my father one time. I treated them so horribly. Because it says, that's the commandment with promise, to live a long life, to honor your father and mother. He said, I guess I won't live a long life. It wasn't a few weeks later we got the word that John McDougal was killed. He said, oh, preacher, I don't know. I don't know that he committed a sin unto death. But he could have. That's serious to God. The way you treat your parents is serious to God. If you're saved, you're saved forever. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, that's wonderful. Have everlasting life. But that life you have is important. Use it right. Use it to the honor and glory of God. Be careful about your testimony. Moses lost his life, but not his salvation. Maybe some of you, the Lord has touched your heart tonight, and there's some things that you've seen yourself in this message tonight. There's still hope. Repent. Get right with God. If you're not saved, you can have that everlasting life we're talking about. You can have it tonight. If you'll come to Christ and trust in Him as your Lord and Savior, He'll forgive your sins. And very tonight, He'll give you everlasting life that will never, ever end. As we stand together, we have this hymn of invitation. As always, we want to give you an opportunity to respond to the message. If God has spoken to your heart, if you need to come for salvation, for baptism, church membership, rededication, as your pastor stands before you to receive you, if you need to come. As we sing, let's just have a word of prayer before we sing. If you're right with God and you're in God's will, pray for those others that may need to make a move tonight. Use this time right now. Just pray for them. And if you have been convicted tonight about something, you need to pray for yourself. You need to go to God right now and ask God to forgive you. If you need to be saved, you need to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ right now to come into your life to be your Lord and Savior. He won't come until you invite Him. He will not force His way in. Tonight, with your head bowed and eyes closed, every head bowed, every eye closed, we're going to God in prayer. This is a time for you to pray. Maybe if you're not saved, you'd like to just pray right now, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me where I failed you. Forgive me of my sins. And today I'm trusting in Jesus Christ as my Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my life, come into my heart, and be my Savior. Help me be a good Christian and live for you. Would you pray that right now? Father, as we come to this time of invitation, we pray, Lord, that you would help those who need to make a move, whether it be for salvation, baptism, church membership. Lord, show them your will and help them to obey it tonight. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we sing hymn number
565,
as we softly sing this invitational hymn, if you need to come, would you come right now? Just obey God's will tonight.